Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
More than 40 million people in the U.S. suffer from mental health problems, yet less than half receive adequate care and treatment. And joining me now, I have Harvard-trained psychiatrist Dr. Marquita Wills, and she's going to help us understand that there are many different types of anxiety disorders. So thank you for joining me today, Doctor. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, first of all, give us a little bit of your background and your experience with anxiety disorders.
Absolutely. I am a board-certified psychiatrist, an adult psychiatrist, and I have treated many, many patients over the years with actual diagnosable anxiety disorders. We're going to talk a little bit about what kinds of disorders that includes.
As you just mentioned, there are many different types of anxiety disorders. Can you give us a few of the examples and maybe some of the symptoms that go along with that?
So probably the most common type of anxiety disorder is what's called generalized anxiety disorder. And that's when someone has a pervasive worry or concern about lots of elements of their lives. This goes beyond just being a quote-unquote worry wart. Someone with generalized anxiety disorder actually is so anxious and worries so much that it begins to impair their functioning and aspects of their life. So that's one thing, one disorder that's pretty common. Another anxiety disorder is panic disorder. And panic disorder is characterized by someone who has panic attacks. Now, if someone has just an isolated panic attack, generally speaking, that wouldn't qualify someone as having panic disorder. Panic disorder is when someone has recurrent panic attacks that actually interfere with their lives. And not only does the panic attack itself cause concern, but then they're always worried about when that next panic attack will come. And so then sometimes they stop going places and doing things, and they become sort of confined to the house because they're so concerned about whether or not they're going to have a panic attack. So panic disorder is another form of anxiety. Another form of an anxiety disorder is obsessive-compulsive disorder. So obsessive-compulsive disorder is when someone has intrusive thoughts, and the thoughts are so distressing to them, but they can't get them out of their mind, and they're repetitive, and they obsess on these thoughts, and the thoughts feel like they're coming from outside of them. So they'll have obsessions about things that don't quite make sense and that are concerning. Oftentimes, there'll be sexualized obsessions that they're having, and then it'll go into germ contamination fears or obsessions, and then they'll go into compulsions. So compulsions to try to reverse the obsessions. And so they may have a hand-washing compulsion, or there may be a checking compulsion or counting compulsion. And so those types of behaviors to kind of counteract the obsessions take up a lot of space in the person's life and end up being very distressing. And then there are also other anxiety disorders like specific phobias, fear of crowds, fear of going outside of the house, which lead to agoraphobia, fear of heights, fear of snakes, those kinds of things, specific sort of circumscribed what we call phobias, are another form of anxiety. So as you can see, it's a term that really has a broad reach for diagnosable conditions in that bucket.
Okay, now, even though there are different types of anxiety disorders, you say they all have something in common. What is that?
It really is that worry or that fear that is exaggerated. So, you know, we all feel anxious at some times, right? And sometimes from an evolutionary perspective, one would think that that anxiety actually is helpful. It is protective in some ways. You know, did I check my door? Did I lock my car door? You know, safety. Is my child okay? You know, you worry about the child. So worrying and anxiety to some level is productive. You know, test taking, you know, you get keyed up and excited and anxious about taking a test. So to some degree, anxiety or worry is a normal happenstance for all human beings. But when it gets to the point that it's just way over exaggerated and takes up too much time for a person's life, then we say, hey, this may be something that needs treatment, that needs to be addressed. This anxiety has gotten out of control, and we move to just normal adaptive anxiety worry to an anxiety disorder.
How debilitating can these phobias and anxiety disorders eventually become?
Great question. They can be debilitating to the point where a person can no longer function. Unfortunately, I've seen very, very extreme cases of agoraphobia, of obsessive compulsive disorder, and of generalized anxiety disorder, where the person can't even function anymore, where they're not able to go out of the house, where they're not able to work, not able to fulfill life duties. And when that happens, that's when we know that there actually is something real and concerning, and that you got to get treatment for that person.
And what type of treatment are we talking about here? What type of procedure?
So, like many disorders in behavioral health conditions, the mainstay of treatment is a combination of medications and or therapy. And in the case of anxiety disorders, the type of therapy that we use specifically is either cognitive behavioral therapy or just behavioral therapy.
Okay, and how many Americans suffer from some sort of anxiety disorder?
So believe it or not, the anxiety disorders are the most common disorders in the American population, the most common psychiatric disorders in the American population. And they oftentimes are comorbid with depression as well. So oftentimes, anxiety and depression go hand in hand. There are more than 3 million cases of anxiety disorders each year in the United States. And those are just the ones that are diagnosed, because oftentimes people go under the radar for whatever reason, stigma for mental health treatment, lack of access to care, or just reluctance to interface with the medical system in general. A lot of times people don't get the help that they need. And so that's one of the reasons why we wrote the book, is because we want to let people know that there are therapeutic modalities out there, both medications and talk therapies, that are effective for this and that can get people back to leading productive lives.
Okay, now you mentioned the book there. You've written this book with a co-author, and it offers some insight into anxiety. Tell us about the book. Tell us the name and what it entails.
Oh, absolutely. The book is entitled Understanding Mental Illness, A Comprehensive Guide to Mental Health Disorders for Family and Friends. And myself and my co-author, Dr. Carlin Barnes, are two board-certified psychiatrists who really wanted to get more credible information out there to the masses about mental health so that people can lead more productive lives. It's our belief that there is a stigma around mental illness, and so we wanted to write in a very easy to read, clear to understand type of language, a book that just breaks down the most basic disorders, including anxiety disorders.
This might be a question that I'm not sure you have an answer to, but do you actually see more cases of anxiety during the holiday season?
Well, it's funny that you asked that. The holiday season does bring about its own set of stresses. And oftentimes people have what's called the holiday blues. There is certainly a pressure to have the perfect Christmas and the perfect holidays with people who may kind of push your buttons that you don't have to see any other time during the year. And everyone's excited and has their own agenda for the holidays. And so, you know, the holidays can certainly be a stressful time for people. And then couple that with the financial demands of kind of creating this perfect Christmas, having the Christmas tree decorated, the house decorated, the lights out, the Christmas cards all bought and sent out. There's certainly a lot of pressure that comes with the holiday season. In addition, you got meals, you know, that have to prepare and gifts that you have to buy, lots of holiday parties that you have to manage so the schedule gets tight, and food and alcohol intake may be increased during that period of time and reduced access to exercise. So a lot of things that can cause those stressors during the holiday period. So we invite people during the holiday time to really slow down and really enjoy the reason for the season and really build in time to take deep breaths and look back and really reflect about how to have kind of a de-stressed holiday season for yourself. So, yes, we do see a spike in mood and anxiety symptoms during this period of the year. One other additional factor to that is oftentimes we'll see what's called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, and that really has to do in certain geographies with a reduction in exposure to light. And so in addition to sort of the holiday issues that happen, there's some physiological triggers that may also be impacting one's mood and stress level. And that is actually seasonal affective disorder is something else that we need to watch out for during the holiday period.
Okay, now if someone does suffer from panic attacks or has an anxiety disorder, how would you suggest they go about getting treatment?
Wonderful question. Thanks so much for asking that. So first and foremost is talking to your primary care physician. Generally speaking, that's where most people feel comfortable having those kinds of discussions. So their family doc, who they know, just having a conversation and saying, you know, I've been stressed out and I think it might be getting out of control. Or what happens more times than often is my loved one says I've been getting stressed out and acting differently, and my loved one is encouraging me to come to you, because sometimes people need the support of their loved ones to really understand if things have gotten sort of out of control. So that's always a really good place to start, is with your doctor, your primary care physician. And it's usually something that they can manage. So you wouldn't need to necessarily go to a therapist or a psychiatrist. But if you need more support and would like that therapy rather than the medication route, then your primary care physician can refer you to a therapist. A therapist can also be accessed by looking at your panel of therapists on your insurance benefit. So calling your insurance card if you've got insurance, that's also a good place to start. And if you don't have insurance and are having feelings of anxiety and know you need some help, most jurisdictions have a public mental health system, and it's always good to go there. So you can go call your crisis hotline in your city, and they can make referrals to the public mental health system, which can treat anxiety there as well.
Okay, very good. Now, tell us once again the name of your book, and where can we get a copy?
Sure thing. Thanks for asking. It's called Understanding Mental Illness, A Comprehensive Guide to Mental Health Disorders for Family and Friends. And you can get that book on Amazon.com or on BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay, Harvard-trained psychiatrist Marquita Wills, and we've been talking about the many different types of anxiety disorders and panic attacks and phobias and how to get treatment for such conditions. So thank you very much for joining me today, Doctor. I appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks so much.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.